speaking morning and the evening. So today we've got Anton speaking this morning, and then the man down here, Lewis, is speaking tonight. You know, he's just getting himself cool and ready for it, which is great. And then in a few weeks, we've got Jack Hooper, we've got Claire King, and some other people all over the summer, different people are speaking. Just hope I'm still going to get my salary next month. Let's wait and see. But let's see, you might get half a salary or something. So, I see that we've got a little timer here. I didn't put it there, and I hope it's not here in September when I start preaching again. But I don't know if it's of the Lord. I think it might be. But Anton, come and let me just pray for you as you bring God's word for us. Father God, we thank you for Anton. And Lord, we pray for him now as he brings this fantastic verse of scripture alive to us this morning. I pray for your anointing upon him, and I pray that your spirit would use him and work through him this morning. And I pray that those of us who will hear your message this morning, will have ears ready to hear you and hearts ready to respond to the word of God in our lives today. Amen.
Amen. So continuing in prayer, may these words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Well, good morning. And it is a privilege. Oh, that's good, a response. I'm not used to that. Try that out in a class of six formers. You never get a response, right? Well, good morning.
Hey.
Right, and it's a privilege to share some thoughts to one of the most wonderful promises that Jesus made to his hearers, and by extension to us too. Now, if listening's not really your thing, I think you were given one of these that you could write or draw with, and I think some pens either have been or will be made available if you need that. And we'll come back to that later if you wish to use that. So we go back to the beginning of our passage today, and it says here, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, Jesus is the truth. See John chapter 14. And he wanted to set these people free. So why does he get such a rapid and unwelcome reaction? Well, it's because of the culture of his day. His was a time of widespread, overt slavery. Being free meant you weren't a slave. This was a big deal. If you were free, you could decide where you went and what you did. You could decide on your work. You could decide if and who to marry. You could buy and sell. What you grew was yours, and you could eat it. You could vote. And if your father was free too, you could stand for election. You couldn't be punished for your actions without a trial. A slave was in the lowest class of humanity, barely human, no rights at all. They were looked down upon and despised by everyone else. As an aside, this is timely. A timely reminder to take action in modern slavery. We are particularly encouraged to look out in car washes, nail bars, and to report or at least share with those we think can do something about it if we see signs of abuse. So the very intimation that someone wasn't free struck a very raw nerve indeed. And of course, it's exactly what Jesus intended. He needed them to know, even these religious folk who knew their Bibles well and who had believed and followed Jesus thus far, which in many cases would have already led to ridicule in their synagogues, that there was a crucial way in which they were limited and bound, just as a slave is limited and bound. Jesus could put this right. The fact that the Jews got the message is demonstrated by their reply. We've never been slaves of anyone! Can't you just sense their indignation? However, they don't just say, how dare you, we're free! No, they amplify this by making a ridiculous and false claim. They must be free because they're Abraham's descendants. But you don't need to know much about Jewish history to know that the Hebrews were hardly ever free. Abraham was a nomad, and he owned no land other than that which he purchased for Sarah's tomb. Jacob's children became slaves in Egypt and required liberation. The great event of the Old Testament, which is mentioned more times in the Bible, I believe, than any other, and on the eve of the anniversary of which our Lord was crucified. They were then captives of the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, enjoyed brief autonomy under the Maccabean Revolution before becoming a province of the Roman Empire. It just shows how incensed these Jews were that they came out with something so obviously ridiculous. A raw nerve had definitely been touched. So what were they slaves to? Well, according to Jesus, sin, wrongful behaviour, usually selfish, which takes us further from God and further from a satisfying, fulfilling and contented life, further from wholeness and well-being in our relationships and in ourselves, as well as being further from filling our potential in whatever we do. As John put it in his letter, if we claim not to be riddled with sin, in denial. However, if we confess, if we tell God where we are and we ask for his help, then we will be forgiven, we will be freed, and thereupon battles can be won. But how does sin enslave us? Well, let's consider what limits our freedom. Probably the classic example is addiction, or perhaps a bad habit which is virtually impossible to give up or requires a lot of work. Being absolutely honest and avoiding sarcasm, perhaps who I'm trying to work the hardest on at the moment. We know what we want to do, but we don't seem to be able to do it. Think for a moment how many of our New Year's resolutions we manage to keep till March. However, we can also be slaves to fear. How many of our worries and limitations come from fear? You know you're going to have a difficult day on Monday, so okay, Monday's not going to go so well. But fear ends up making Sunday almost bad. And it doesn't need to, does it? I wonder, is there anything that fear is holding you captive to? But the good news is that we can be free. Our main passage this morning, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Suppose you are unjustly accused of a heinous crime and the fact becomes known. Now let's imagine you meet Mrs. Brown, the fishmonger, in town, and she says, well, I know you didn't do it, you're not that kind. Well, you'd have encouragement that someone was on your side, but that encouragement would be limited. You would still have to face trial, and you'd still have to face the chance of jail. Let's suppose now that Mrs. Brown, the fishmonger, wasn't just somebody you met in the town. She was the foreman of the jury on your case at the Crown Court. Then, when she replies to the judge's query, how do you find the defendant, with the words, not guilty, those same words have the full authority of the law behind them. You are free to go from that building with your head held high and your reputation intact. So the power of the statement depends on the identity of the person making it. Now, the writer to the Hebrews described Jesus, who made the statement of that verse, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He describes Jesus as the Son, whom God appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus has the authority and power to heal, to forgive, and to free. Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, and we know God is love. So Jesus is love, and he is the demonstration of God's love for us. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And if it's fear that is perhaps more of a trap than a specific sin, then remember, also from John's letter, that perfect love drives out fear. When I was trained, one of our teachers specified that whenever we prepared a sermon, we should finish the sentence, I give this sermon that the congregation would, dot, dot, dot. We were also encouraged to make it as short as possible. That is the sentence, not the sermon, I hasten to add. Well, I give this sermon that the people in our church would ask for and experience the freedom only Jesus can give from everything that traps us and constrains us. One of the mottos of the school where I work is fulfill your potential. And surely that is a good motto for a school, but it's also a good motto for a church. And the freedom Christ gives us is the only way for us to fulfill our potential. Think of what you did yesterday or the day before. Think how many of those things would not have been possible had you been a slave. Your potential is enhanced by your freedom. Seize freedom. Claim freedom. Freedom isn't free, but the price was paid by Christ through his life, through his voluntary death on that cross for you, stamped as authentic by his bursting from the grave on the third day, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, the holy energy of God. And what does energy do? Makes things happen that would otherwise have been impossible. The ability to do God's work, to live out that freedom and bring the taste and savour of it to all that we meet. So in our time of reflection that we come to, consider, what am I, what are we bound by? An action? A fear? Ask for freedom through Jesus. Expect it. And if you wish, seek prayer with a member of the team later in the service to share your request so others can support you in prayer and encourage you. Maybe with this card, if you've written something here, coloured it and underlined it, maybe even put your name there, tear off this bottom bit and hand it in. And we will continue to pray for you that you experience that freedom and you live out that freedom that is offered to you. But what if you think you're totally free already? Well, that could be good or bad. If you're living out the freedom of Christ in all its fullness, then give praise to God for this. Rejoice and seek to do yet more. For to everyone who has, more will be given. But remember, Paul wrote this, he who was a free person when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves to others. You have a mission and a job, and you should to attend to it with the same single-mindedness that a slave has no choice but to employ. But otherwise, watch out. Jesus spoke harshly to those who claimed they were already free and did not need the freedom he offered. Their father was not God, but God's enemy. Rejoice in freedom or ask to receive it. Indifference is not an option, or at least it's the worst option of all. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If you had been a slave and then suddenly you were given your freedom, what do you think is the first thing you would do? Now you can actually do what you choose to do. And just imagine the enthusiasm with which you would do that thing. Well, with that same enthusiasm, decide how you are going to use and how you are going to share your freedom in Christ. Let's spend some time together in silent prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the freedom you have offered us, you have promised us in your Son Jesus Christ and of his demonstration that he is able to give this. Lead us in what we need to ask for freedom from, to trust that you will grant this freedom. And I pray that we would live freed lives in which we bring and declare that freedom to all that we meet, that we live with, we work with, and everyone else we share time with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Goodness me, amen. Church, we've heard this morning some very clear words from Scripture. And it would be our only responsibility before God to respond to that word. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to have a time of response. We're going to sing some songs through together. Some songs that have been strategically chosen just for this time. And the first one we're going to sing in a few moments is No Longer a Slave. And I just want to echo, I want to say what Anton said, but I just want to echo again, just Jesus is truth and his truth will set you free. And all of us in this place this morning know the things in our own personal lives that have taken control over us. We all know them. I don't need to call them out. Self-doubt, unbelief, not believing ourselves, etc. There's so many. We could list a whole list of them. But I don't want to do that. What I want to do is I want us to sing our first song together. which says that we're no longer slaves because Christ has set us free. And during that song, I want you to think about the thing in your own personal life. I'm not going to ask you to tell anybody about it, but I want you to realize, what is that thing? Or it may be one thing or maybe several things. What is that thing that you just need to be set free of today? I love that quote that Anton said, that freedom helps us to fulfill our potential in Christ. And I haven't seen these notes all week, so I've been looking at them and praying over them. And I keep coming back to that whole thing. Freedom in Christ, full freedom in Christ gives us the fulfillment to reach our potential in Him. And the question that I had this week in my own life, which is a bit complex, and in your life and in the church's life, is what things do I need? What things do you need? What things do we as a church need to be free from, to reach our full potential as individuals and as God's community of God's people? And I just kept praying that in this week, and just asking God just to, this morning by His Spirit, to reveal those to our hearts and give us the confidence today to speak to Jesus about those things and just to fully give them to Him. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be fully fulfilled in the potential that God has upon my life. Why? Because that's my responsibility before the God who's done everything for me. And that's no different to you. So we're going to sing this first song, No Longer a Slave. And after that, we're going to ask you, during that song, as we sing it, just think about those things. And then I'm going to invite you to come this morning up to the front. I'm going to pray for us this morning, that as individuals, as we come, that God, by His Spirit, through the truth of His Word, and the truth which is Jesus, that His anointing would be upon us this morning and give us the confidence to let those things go in Christ Jesus. But before we do that, let me say this one thing. How many times have you let go of something and been freed from it and then forgotten about it and it's come back again? Lots of us probably. And maybe this morning we can just ask God to take it away once and for all, so you can feel your full potential in Christ. So we're going to do that after this song. So I just want to give you a bit of pre-warning. And I'm going to encourage you after this song to come forward. We're going to worship and we're going to pray and we're going to ask God's anointing of His Spirit upon us this morning. Because it is only in Christ's freedom that we fulfill our potential in Christ. And does God want us to fulfill our potential? Does He? Absolutely He does. And will God's kingdom come greater in this place, in our community, when we as believers in Christ fulfill our full potential in Christ? Absolutely it will. I was talking to somebody this week about this. And they said, you know what, I just need to get rid of bitterness. I need to get rid of bitterness. I need to get rid of speaking unwell of people. I need to be set free of that because I've done it since I've been 18. And I've been a Christian for 22 years, but I still do it. And lots of different things for all of us. And like I said, we're not going to ask you to share them. We're just going to pray God's anointing on you, that His Spirit would pour itself into you and change will come. So let's stand and sing.